So I think it's our sixth or seventh week in the book of John, and we're on chapter 2. We're going to finish that, right? No, we're on chapter 3. 3, verse 22. Went through the big section there, the big, powerful testimony, powerful words of Jesus coming from his mouth, that for God so loved the world. You can imagine Jesus standing in front of you, because this was not a preaching to 1,000 people, to a stadium, to a football game. It was to one person in the midst of the night, in the quiet of the night. For God so loved the world, Jesus speaking to you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, standing right before you saying this, that whosoever, Nicodemus, you religious nut, you zeal, you zealot, you well-educated man, down to the lame person in the gutter, that whosoever believes in his name should not perish. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Powerful words of Jesus, transitioning now to John the Baptist and his response to Jesus and what's going on. In verse 22, after these things, the wedding so far, the calling of the disciples, Nick at night, after these things, we're going to go back over a few of them too. Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. We're going to learn later that was actually his disciples that baptized, but he, along with John the Baptist, got into that group of baptizing. And John also was baptizing in Anon near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. No, John was still at work. Jesus' ministry has begun, and John the Baptist's ministry is still going. Then arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Your translation might say a Jew. It might have been one. All it takes is one. They're very good at arguing. And I believe God has put something in that race of people, in that group of people, to be very vigilant about the Word of God. So they'll debate you till the sun goes down, and then when it comes back up, they'll still debate you over something. So they're very, very particular about the Word of God and holding on to the truth. So I don't see that as a criticism. I see that as something God has instilled in this people, that he's raised up to preserve his Word. And we see it has come through the centuries and the millennia, the Word of God to us today. So thank you, Lord, for that. Well, here we see it. They're disputing with John, the disciples, about the purifying, the procedure, the ceremony, and how to be purified with water. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond the Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptized, and all the men come to him. We got some competition. Jesus is now baptizing, his disciples are. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He's putting himself in the proper place here. Even though he's basically worshipped by his disciples, they follow him every day, they cling on to every word he says. And they didn't just show up on Sunday and go to John the Baptist church. They followed him every single day. Cling to every word. They went through thick and thin with him. He is decreasing himself in their eyes, and that's a huge thing for a leader to be able to do. I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. I'm just a servant here to prepare the way for him. Listen to how he describes us in verse 29. We sang about it this morning. He that has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, the best man, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Great billboard. Praise God for the slogans that we have up on billboards. Sometimes it says, read the Bible, or it just says, God listens, or it says something to that effect. There's a great one, especially for us in this country here, in a wealthy country. He must increase, but I must decrease. It's not about our kingdom increasing, It's about his. He must increase, but I must decrease. We would think, well, he's increasing and I'm increasing. It's actually the opposite, and we'll be talking about that. He must increase, but I must decrease. I'm just getting a vision of a lever right now. I have one, it's called a scythe, and you cut grass with it. And there's a fulcrum and there's a pivot point. One direction, your hand is going this way, and the other direction, your hand is moving in opposite directions. I see that, right? I'm just getting a vision of this right now as I'm reading this. I didn't plan to. But as he's increasing and we're decreasing, there's a power that's happening there. The power of the gospel is happening. As we decrease and we lose our life in him, as we fall on that rock and we give more and more territory to him, he increases and there's a great power there in our life. So yes, there's a strength that we come to realize. Yes, there's we are increasing in him. But the greater reality, what's happening there that drives all of this is our decreasing and him increasing. And that turning power happens. So I will demonstrate that after church. I did bring my scythe and didn't plan that to be part of the teaching. Just that the weeds are 5 feet high out there. And as I finally remembered it this morning, the weed whacker died and I got a gasless variety. So I went from not knowing what I was doing to being a really horrible beginner. And that's where I'm at still with it. So I'll go out there and make a fool of myself after church today with that. See what can happen. But praise God for that power. What a billboard. If I had the money to put up a billboard, if we ever have that opportunity, praise God, we will put up a billboard, is that he would increase and we would decrease. Nothing wrong with that. There's great power in that verse. Thank you, Jesus. See, we all have this eye problem, and that's why we have to decrease. We all have this eye problem. I don't mean the eyes in your head. It's the eye that is yourself, your whole being, the one you were born with, the one you see in the reflection in the mirror. You may have heard the teaching or understanding, the tip given that helps us understand what sin is. And someone will say, well, there's in the middle of sin, in the word sin, you have the letter I. And it helps us remember what sin is. You're right at the center of it, yourself. This thing that destroys marriages and families and countries, even, to which God says the wages thereof are death. I is right in the middle of that. Me, myself, and I. What beautiful words of John the Baptist. I cherish them. They are so profound. They are so heavy. So powerful. He is the best man, Jesus would say. There was none like John the Baptist. None greater. And Jesus is saying, this is the best man in my wedding. Such a cool thing. John is realizing that, of course. He is the best man. He's not the groom. Jesus is the groom. Now John the Baptist is finding his rightful place and being good with that. Not only being good with that, but flourishing in that. This is who I am. Remember the teaching of Simeon and Anna? This is what God has created me to be. Maybe it was just my whole life was to hold the door open for all ladies. Say, God bless you. Jesus loves you. This is my life. I can go to heaven now. And this is all God has called me to this earth for. To have that humility. To be good with what God has called you with and where he's put you. To flourish in that. Say, thank you, Lord God. This is what you called me to be. This is what you've called me to do. I'm good with that. I don't need to be standing in front of 10,000, 100,000 people, Lord God. It could be one person. Just one person, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. I think Roger had a good testimony about just this very verse. I got written on my notes here. Roger, bus driver, as he was talking about it. But that you feel the flesh rising up and then the Lord helping you. And there's a decrease happening there. Roger had to decrease, but at the same time, he's allowing Jesus to increase. So you see the power happening there. You see the power of the gospel happening there. Great illustration, real time. Let's look at some of the biblical characters we were introduced to so far in the book of John and how they decreased and the Lord increased even so far in these first few chapters. First one, Nicodemus. We're going to go back from where we are right now back into the beginning of John. I must decrease and he must increase. Number one, Nicodemus. This word, of course, is not just for John the Baptist, it's for Nicodemus, it's for you and me. Nicodemus would be the first one to ever hear on this earth, John 3:16. Maybe a few disciples that happened to be awake at the time would gather that information. As well as you must be born again, he would hear that as well, to enter the kingdom of God. Did Nick get a tattoo with that verse or write it over the doorway of his house? Or did he decrease and allow that truth to increase? Or perhaps when persecution came, would he fall into the category of the parable of the sower or the seed that fell on stony ground? Persecution came, the heat of the day came. Your boss, your bus driver boss came, and who was a believer, came and said, you can't do this anymore. And everyone around you is saying, no, you can't do that, you can't do that. And the devil's going, you can't do that, you can't do that. Everything around you is going, and your flesh is going, you can't do that, you can't do that. And the Lord levels that whole playing field. Greater is he that is in you than anything around you. Man, I'm here to testify that this morning. Because you will find that you will be attacked from every direction. The psalmists talk about it. But greater is God. Man, that one thing that he gave you, that one little tiny seed, the word of God. Man, it is so powerful. If I would just believe on that, whoosh, that mountain's gone. Whoosh, that mountain's gone. Whoosh, that mountain's gone. Would Nicodemus believe these words of Jesus? You must be born again. For God so loved the world. He first visits Jesus this night, and then we'll see in the Bible later on that he does return. He's the one that pipes up in John chapter 7 when we get to that and says, wait a minute, consider the things that he's done. And he brings in some wisdom in John chapter 7 to the rest of the religious rulers. He stands up for Jesus there. In John 19, he's there also at the crucifixion of Jesus, the embalming of him. So we see Nick at night decreased, and he did allow the Lord to increase in his life. I must decrease, he must increase. Number two, the temple defilers. How about that one? This isn't just for John the Baptist or Nick at night, but for the temple defilers as well, those that are steeped in sin and corruption, you and me, those that he drove out of the temple. Would some of those decrease or increase in that teaching, in that illustration, when he stood powerfully and said, this is a house of prayer. This is my Father's house. And that zeal that burned inside of him for his Father's house. I don't want trash happening. I don't want corruption happening here. I don't want compromise happening here. I want the living waters of life to pour out here and people to be healed and lives to be changed. The passion of God, did that impact them? Did they decrease in that? Increase in the Lord? It's kind of funny. We were teaching about that recently. What can take place in a church building recently. And you got to experience a different church and some of the things that take place there. And it was interesting all that was before us. Again, allow Jesus to increase. Allow Jesus to increase is the bottom line. What perfection and completeness we see in the Word that became flesh. The passion we find within us is no accident. The passion you have for life, the passion you have to serve and to even die is no accident. It's the same one that drove the pigeons and the sheep out of the temple there that they were selling, the corruption driven out. That same passion burns inside of you. You are made in his image, and that image has been made complete now in your rebirth in him. The one turning over the tables dwells inside of you. The passion of God is refreshing, inspiring, stimulating, and motivating. This Jesus we follow is not just timid and meek and in the shadow somewhere. He's mighty. He's a king. Jesus would point to himself being the temple of God. We are his body. We're now living stones to be part of that. I want to decrease in that reality and allow him to increase, allow his passion to increase, his zeal to burn inside of me, not to put it out, not to damper it, not to suppress it, but to let the lion out. Do you hate sin? Well, I know I'm not supposed to. No, do you hate sin this morning? Do you hate lies? Do you hate adultery? Do you hate it with the same passion that he has? I invite you that there's one that lives inside of you. If he doesn't, today is the day of your salvation. Invite him in. Invite this passionate one into the temple. Allow him to clean house. Yes, Lord, I hate adultery. Yes, Lord, I hate sin. I hate lying. I hate covetousness where I got to have more. And it's never enough. It's always the next thing. And then the next thing. And then this thing. Covetousness. I hate it. There's no life. It's death. Do you hate sin? Allow the passion, the powerful King of Kings inside of your soul to cleanse it out. Don't play footsie with sin or keep it on a long, long leash. Religion will just cause you to extend the leash of sin until you feel self-righteous. Well, that sin's, yeah, it's down about a mile now. I got it on a leash a mile long. Let it go. Lose your life and find it new in him. Crucify it. He's provided the provision. The ultimate power of this universe, the cross of Jesus Christ. You can go to it 24/7, 365. I must decrease, he must increase. Mary, number three, I think. Mary, doesn't matter. Working back, we find Mary and Jesus and some of the disciples at the wedding of Cana. There she is sitting with her son and savior, Yeshua, Jesus, Joshua. Spot on, Mary. The last words recorded of Mary that God would have in our scripture today. Just do it. Not Nike. They stole it. Whatever he says, do it. Way before the shoe company was Yahshua, the kingdom began with those words. If you want to honor Mary, listen to what God would preserve her last recorded words to be. Whatever he says, do it. Be a doer of his word. Whoever hears his words of mine, Jesus says, and does them, is like a man that has built his house upon a rock. I must decrease, he must increase. Nathaniel, going back. God bless the new little Nathaniel. My niece, Becca. Kelsey knows Becca. I went to Haiti with her and the team. I saw Jesus in her in that trip, and Kelsey as well, holding the little ones of that land, embracing them, no fear, just loving on them, pouring out. In a very difficult place of unfamiliar and the strangeness to seeing Jesus in these young girls. Awesome. What a mom these young ladies will become and are now. Thank you, Jesus. Blessing on my niece's new son this past week. Sorry for the little diversion there. Just remembered that. Nathan's first response, remember, hearing the words of Jesus, or hearing about Jesus, said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" That was one side of Nathaniel. That was the I part of Nathaniel. That was his first response, his understanding, his opinion. Jesus spoke right past all of that stuff in his mind, into his heart, and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile, no deceit, no lies." There's a man, a truth seeker. A great example of the decreasing and the increasing. He decreased in his understanding of anything good come from Nazareth to increasing in the truth, standing before him in bodily form. "Thou art the Son of God," he would say. "Thou art the King of Israel." What happened to his opinion about Nazarene people? flushed, gone. He decreased. His opinions decreased. Please dispose of your opinions at the door and come in and encounter Christ. Embrace His word fully. Let them dissolve in the presence of Jesus Christ, who wants to speak to you individually, like He did Nathanael. Spoke to him individually. Saw him under a tree before he could, through the crowd. Saw him under the tree. Saw him ahead of time. And spoke into his life. It wasn't cookie cutter. It wasn't, here's the gospel in 10 points and then go to the next person and do the same thing. He spoke to each one of these people individually. And God has called us. The Christ that's within you wants to do the same out in the world. The Great Commission wants you to touch lives individually, whether Haiti or down in Walmart in Auburn. Wants you to touch lives individually and allow the Spirit of God to reach into their heart. Lose your opinions about their tattoos. Lose your opinions about where they're from, their skin color, what their education is, how they smell, whatever it is. Lose it all. Decrease and allow Jesus to increase and touch people and heal people. I must decrease. He must increase. Philip. Peeling back a little bit more. Philip, who just speaks readiness. He drips. Readiness. I love it. Readiness. He hears the command, follow me, and he follows. The connection I shared last week with a beautiful young man named Chuck Jr., his testimony and the words that he heard from Jesus in the midst of struggle, been through the accident, he's in the wheelchair, he's gone back on the booze, back on the weed, and he hears from above, follow me. In a word that was more clear than anything audible could ever be spoken. He had a hard time expressing to me how impactful and how real and how he heard that word and it wasn't something of the ears. How it resounded in him and it shook his whole being until he's never been the same since that spoke into him. The readiness of him. Just ready for that word from heaven to drop, that dew to drop from heaven, and him to come back to light, him to come back to want to live again, want to walk again, want to reach into people's lives. And he's doing just that. If you go down to a church down in Virginia, where is it, Maryland, huh? Somewhere, you'll see a fella on his walker at the end of service come up to you, man, and if you could just hear his testimony, what it means to walk. I never knew there was so much involved. The thought process that's got to go into it. He's talking, he describes it as a dance. Everything that goes into it. And he relates it to his walk with the Lord now. But if you were to go down there today and after service come up for prayer, you might find a hand laying on your head that is his and reaching into your life. Because Jesus spoke to him, follow me. Follow me. I must decrease. He must increase. I shared a blog on the Facebook webpage for our church. Now, if you don't have Facebook, let me know. I'll get that to you some other way. Very simple. It's not a long one. It'll take you 10 minutes to read it. But I guarantee you will read it again and again and again. You'll go back to this one. He describes his walk with Christ now after his accident, being in a quad and all that stuff. I guarantee you'll go back to it. So allow that to encourage you. He was very delighted to have you hear that as well and excited that I was able to share that. How his testimony crushed me. I don't want to go to a family reunion. How long we got to be there, honey? Is there going to be fishing? Can I get down a lake and just ignore everybody? I didn't say that, but I thought that. You saw the fishing pole in the trunk, didn't you? I fell on the rock there. When I got to that family reunion, I fell on the rock. Jesus Christ and a person in a wheelchair. And I thought I was going to go encourage him. I was broken, man. I was crushed. Next Sunday's teaching, I don't even know what it was. I don't listen to that one. I was numb for 3 days. Repentance to me is a continual process of brokenness. Daily denying self, the I. Picking up your cross, not my burdens, but my resting place. My flesh parking spot. Why are you carrying a cross, Paul? Because that's where my flesh belongs. It's where my flesh rests. And I find new life going forward in His raised life and Jesus' risen life now living within me. My flesh dissolved into nothingness there at the cross, not I, but Christ. We're getting there. I must decrease, He must increase. Simon Peter. Two names. Simon, it was his birth name. Mom and Dad would name him that. Hi, Simon. Burp him with that name. Jesus would burp him with a new name. Rock! Peter! His new name. The Rock. He was not the Rock until many years later, past even the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He would step into that character in the more fullest sense. The fire-ready aim nature of Peter. Jesus looked all the way through past that, just like He looked through the mental issues of Nathaniel, just like He looked through everything into the heart. And He sees the potter, sees the clay. This is what I'm going to make. I'm going to make a Peter stone, stability. One of the more well-known disciples, of course, because of his personality. We like it. We identify with it. He falls a lot. We do. We make mistakes. It's like, yeah, I'm going to the Lord. No, the Lord's over there, Paul. Okay. He spoke before he thought. He jumped into the situation, struck out, spoke up. Right or wrong or sideways, there's the I in Peter. I, or rather Simon, his birth name. What a neat thing to be renamed by God. If this teaching has been hard to understand this far today, this morning, about decreasing and Him increasing, let just this simplicity grab you. God has a new name for you. Along with that is a new heart, a new set of eyes, ears, a new you that doesn't sin, it doesn't rust, it doesn't fall apart, but is a living stone in the temple of God that will not be destroyed. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. More than a conqueror. You mean there's more to life than winning? Come on. Paul, you're an American. Get with the program. Next time you see a race where someone falls and another, anybody ever see that, a video during a race? And somebody falls and then somebody picks them up and they finish the race with them. Anybody see that? They're hard to forget. That's a race. I mean, I've seen a lot of races. I've watched my girls in track and stuff like that. That's hard to forget. That's hard to put out of your mind. And some of you are thinking about that right now. It's hard to put out of your mind, that race, where somebody stopped and picked somebody up. You mean there's more to life than winning? Next time you see that, maybe you can Google it or whatever. A race where someone falls and another sacrifices his strength, his crown or her crown, to help another. You'll get the insight to what Jesus did for you and me. Jesus entered the race, the human race, to which no one can cross the finish line. No one. We've all fallen short. There's 10 laps to this race. There's 10 commandments. And whether it's half a lap or 3 laps, no one finishes. Which one do you fall on? Lying, stealing, adultery, jealousy, coveting material things, always wanting the next thing, dishonoring parents, taking the Lord's name in vain, treating Him as common, His temple, His church, your body, which He's purchased, is common. How many laps have you made it? Who are you comparing yourself to? One that made it to half a lap? We're all dead on the track, bleeding, A hand has been extended to us from heaven, for God so loved the world. You cannot finish this race in your own strength. He wants to share His victory with you. He wants to share the prize of the crown of life with you. What a glorious God that loves us so. Allows His strength to become ours. His joy to become ours. His love to become ours. His grace to become ours. Thank you, Jesus. As we are in His tow, we spot others on the track and become this extension of His strength to reach others. In the next and the next. And then you see the body building. Death, where is your sting? Amen. Praise God. Last one. It's warm. I know it, folks. I must decrease and He must increase. Andrew. Finally, we encounter Andrew, who heard the words of John the Baptist to follow and follow Jesus just from that teaching. Did he know why? Was he following because it seemed like the thing to do? Where the crowd was going, maybe, or a friend was going? It says someone else was there, probably John. Curiosity? A desire for change? A more successful life? A better reputation, stability? What was he seeking? I or Jesus? It can look the same. Following after Jesus can look the same. But is it about I or is it about Jesus? Some form about improving self? My I moving over to the little bit more gooder side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is going to burn up and is cursed? The family tree I was born on from Adam and Eve, I need to leave that tree and be born on a new tree, the tree of life. Jesus says, what seek ye? To Andrew. What seek ye? Is it I or me? Is it I or Jesus? Self-improvement, success, or Jesus? As you take communion today, you're invited to do so by the blood that was provided by the Lamb for you today, the one that's reaching out to you on the human race, pulling you up off the track and wants to finish with you, wants to give you that strength to finish. And as He strengthens you, you're going to strengthen other people. As you take communion today, what seek ye? Is it Him or is it a better you? A more successful life? Do you want Jesus in the fullness of what that means? Allow yourself to decrease and allow Him to increase this morning. As you hear the words of the song, as you hear the guitar being strummed with musical melodies that He created, allow yourself to dissolve like a bar of soap in the water. Dissolve into His presence. He's a good God. You can trust Him. Don't trust me. Trust Jesus. I'll try hard, but I'll fail. Trust Jesus. That's who I'm holding on to as I'm reaching out to people. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for your blood that was shed on the cross, represented by this cup. Thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken for me and for the people in front of me. Thank you, Lord God, that your strength is our strength, that your joy is our joy. Thank you for sharing your victory with us, Lord God. We love you. But the spirit of thanksgiving, it was a very prominent thought last night in prayer. The spirit of thanksgiving overwhelm you this morning. As you're preparing for communion, just give thanks to God. Start with the little things if you need to. Thank you, God, that I have a seat right now. I have a place to sit. I have a roof over my head. I've got clothes on my back. Allow that to move inside of you. You know what you're doing? You're accomplishing the will of God. Isn't that simple? You thought you were here to build monuments and build pyramids. Just be thankful and grateful. Thank you, Jesus. We'll save the pretty stories for Hollywood and Disney. As I make a mess up here and spill juice and wine over the bread. And it's the story of the prodigal is never, it's not a Disney one. It's a difficult one. One with with many surprises and turns in dark times and silent times. Thank you, Jesus, for getting messy for us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
You're more real than the wind in my lungs. You're more real than the ground I'm standing on. Your thoughts define me, you're inside me, you're my your thoughts define.